in your Bibles to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. We're going to start reading in verse number 11. No, we're going to start reading in verse number 10. Verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Yes, pray with me. Father, I ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what's the hope of your calling, and what's the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what's the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places. And ask that you grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, I ask you for divine utterance this morning. I ask that you would help me to communicate the heart of the Father to us, your people. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Last Sunday night, I'd made a statement. And I was trying to paint a picture to help us to understand something. And in this picture, I was trying to explain what an astronaut would look like in outer space. We've all seen pictures of spacesuits. See, when you don't know what the temperature is, that it's an extreme hot or an extreme cold, you could be frozen to death or you could be burned up. So it's imperative that you would have the right suit on if you were in that environment. That suit encompassed many different parts. There was a helmet, there was gloves, there were shoes, there was a suit, but all of it made up the suit. You know, you ask a lot of people if they're going to dress, they're going to tell you, if you're going to get a suit, you got to get the shoes to go with it. If you ask a woman, if she's going to get a dress, you are not dressed unless you've got the shoes that go along with it. I've worked in people's houses before. I know how you women are. Sometimes, and I've seen it, with closets full of shoes. So how in the world can somebody wear? It ain't got nothing to do with wearing them. It's got something to do with having the right shoe that went with the right outfit that made you feel the way that you wanted to look. Is that true or is that false? And Becky said, and also the right pocketbook to go along with it. And don't you think Louis Vuitton don't know how to play on that one? Or anybody else that makes pocketbooks and makes shoes and makes clothes. They understand these concepts. But we're not going to look at it this morning from that aspect. We're going to look at it from a totally different aspect. Because I said to myself, if we as people could develop a suit that would allow a man to be able to withstand outer space in all of the different conditions, his spacesuit. I said there should be a spacesuit for the child of God to be able to face the different environments that we would be placed in. And I told Sandy the other night, I said, ha, he did. He gave us a spacesuit. He gave us a faith suit.
Yes.
Say it with me. He gave us a faith suit. And this faith suit is made up. I said, you know, we ain't even got to reinvent it. All we got to do is go to the Word of God and find it. I knew about it. Been praying it. We've been praying this here prayer over us for I don't know how many years. Putting on the whole armor of God. He said put it on. So we've been putting it on. But a lot of times, you know, you put something on and then have no clue of what you're putting on. Well, I know I got to put my socks on. I got to put my shoes on. No, I got to put my pants on, got to put my shirt on. We know these things. But let's see if we can look just a little bit closer into the Word of God. Because there's something that this faith suit will do for us. And you don't want to be caught without it. Why don't you want to be caught without it? Catch here what he's saying. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because I can promise you, if this faith suit is not on, you will be caught with your proverbial pants down. Or you will be unclothed and the enemy will have a heyday in your life. Says, finally, be strong and in the Lord, in the power of his might. So if we're not strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, we're walking this thing out in our own strength. And when we walk something out in our own strength, I need to tie another story in right here. This happened in California. This was in the days of the big blimps. Over in Lisbon City, they had a great big blimp base. But this was on the West Coast. And they had one, and at that time, it was a dirigible. A dirigible is just it's a German name for a blimp. And they had several hundred people on ropes, and they were trying to get this dirigible, this blimp, moored to this steel mast. So they had all of these here sailors, soldiers, holding on to these ropes, holding this thing steady so that they could get it tied off. Well, a gust of wind comes out of the normal, and it lifts that thing several hundred feet up in the air. When it lifted it up in the air, there were some of these people didn't have the wits about them to turn those ropes loose. So they just held on to them. And there's just a certain amount of time before you're going to get fatigued and you can't hold on in your own strength. And what was happening, people were falling to their deaths. Because they say if you can kill yourself if you fall over 6 feet, just the impact. Now, if you're hundreds of feet in the air, or even 50, 60, that's a long fall. And people were falling. People were stopped on the road. People were crying. People were praying. They looked up, and there was one man that was holding on. They thought this man was like Superman. How in the world can somebody hold on like this? There were articles that was written about this. And he stayed up there for a long period of time. They finally got the thing down and got it moored and tied off. They had an ambulance down there waiting for him because they said, we got to get this man in and check him out. So when they got him down, they was getting ready. He said, I'm fine. You don't have to put me in no ambulance. There ain't nothing wrong with me. He said, how in the world could you do it? How could you hold yourself in that position? He said, I didn't hold myself. He said, I saw what was taking place. And I had about 4 foot of tail on that rope from where my hand was at. And he said, what I did, he said, I got a hold of the tail of that rope and I wrapped it around me and I tied it off. So I wasn't holding on to the rope. The rope was holding on to me. See, a lot of times people put all of the emphasis on them in their victory and their success in walking out the things of God instead of wrapping themselves in the promises and the provision. And a lot of times we find ourselves so abused and so beat up because we're just walking this thing out in our own flesh and in our own strength. This is when you would have had people, older saints, that would make statements like this. Y'all pray for me that I'll be able to hold out to the end. No, you wrap yourself in the promises of God. Don't you depend on somebody else's prayers to be what keeps you in your right place with God. You get yourself in the right place with God, and you keep yourself in the right place with God, and you close yourself in the provision that God has made available to you. And if you don't, and I don't, we will suffer the consequences of it. Because he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. And this is one of our ways of being strong in the Lord, is doing what he says to do. So he spells this out. And he gives a description of the armor of God. Now, when you take it, I ain't going to be graphic, but I'm going to try to explain this thing so we can get a picture of it. Your loin area is this area here. You might call it your private area. Because you can mark this one down. What you do in private will affect what you do in public. Amen. So if you want to be a strong man or woman out for everybody to see, it's a must that you're going to have to spend time with God in your private place. Yes. And if you don't spend time with God in your private place, you will be weak and you will not be strong. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if you work on a secular job. It don't matter if you're a preacher. It don't matter if you teach or lead the singing. It just doesn't matter. What matters is that we clothe ourselves in the provision that God has made available to us. And if we don't, we will suffer the consequences of our own laziness, lack of diligence, and ignorance. By not doing what he says. See, when God tells us to do something and then we don't do it, you can't point no finger at God and say, that's your fault. No, it ain't God's fault. It's my fault. So brothers and sisters, let's not get in that blame game thing of blaming God. Why did he let this happen? No, look at myself and say, why did I let this happen? and then get my nose in the book and find out what I was supposed to be doing. See, this happened to David. In the Old Testament, he had a heart to bring the ark back into the house of God, but he didn't know how to do it. It cost somebody his life. Put fear all in him. But he found out how to do it. And he successfully brought the ark to the house of God. Brothers, sometimes we can miss it royally. But just because we have missed it royally and might have been missing it royally doesn't mean we had to keep missing it. It doesn't mean we have to keep missing it. We can make changes. And as we make changes, what happens? We find ourselves wrapping ourselves in the things that God has provided for us that was there to hold us and not putting all of the emphasis on ourselves. See, there's a God side of things and there's a man side of things. There's a God side of things and there's a your side of things. There's a God side of things and there's a my side of things. And I can't do this for you and you can't do it for me, but we can do it and we can do it successfully. Amen? So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. So, if I haven't clothed myself in the armor of God, I can promise you, you will not be standing successfully. You might be struggling through life, but you're not standing successfully. Now he's getting ready because he's telling us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. This is not with an adversary that we can see. See, a lot of times we think that our trouble is with our children or with my spouse, husband, if you're a wife, wife, if you're a husband. It's their fault. And then we're always playing the blame game. Putting it off on somebody. I'm going to tell you one thing. I have found out that I can live a successful Christian life if you'll leave me alone and get everybody away from me. Let me say that again. I have found out that I can live a successful Christian life if you'll leave me alone and get everybody away from me. Because if I ain't walking right, it's somebody else's fault. Are you catching what I'm saying? You're not going to be left alone and you're not going to be by yourself. There's people that's going to come into your life. So we might as well mark it down. We need to develop some people skills. Amen? Some people skills. Because if you're married and you're a woman, you've got a husband. What am I going to say? Learn to deal with it. If you've got a wife, if you're a husband, learn to deal with it. Did you know that God's got wisdom on how to deal with things? See, He's not just thrown us out here and we've just got to walk out of this thing. There's things that He tells us in the Word that can help us tremendously. Because the enemy will take, and he will use people on your job. He will use people in your home. He'll use anybody that will submit themselves to Him. That's why it's important for us to submit ourselves to God. Because if not, we find ourselves being part of the problem instead of part of the solution. Because we've allowed Him to manipulate us. Because sometimes all He got to do to make us respond pull the right strings. Now, when we first got married, I told Sandy, I said, you ain't got buttons to push. You know, we say that, just got to push the right buttons, and she would respond. I said, you ain't got buttons. I said, you got touchpads. And I'm sure it was the same for me. So, Lord, give me those scriptures that'll fix her. I didn't pray that. I weren't that ignorant. But a lot of times we do. We look at it, you know, give me those scriptures to fix her. No. When the Lord gives you some scriptures, it's going to be for you. One of the first people that you need to work on is you. And one of the middle people that you need to work on is you. And one of the last people that you need to work on is you. Are you getting a picture in this? Everybody else ain't your problem. But he says, now, he says, put on the whole armor of God. There's some wisdom in here in these different parts of armor. And he starts out with the girdle of truth. The girdle of truth. You women, I've seen these in the old days. I ain't seen many in new days. They would. My mama, I can see her right now. She would be embarrassed if I was saying this. She'd get in this, pull this thing up, and pull this thing up. Just girdle of truth. That's not what the girdle that it's talking about, but a lot of times that's the picture that we get of it. It takes and holds things in that we don't want stuck out. So, I love you, Mama. So I'm going to straighten this out. So this girdle of truth, he's saying this. This truth, because we can say, and we've prayed it like this, and I told Sandy, I said, we've done just about with the armor that we did with the Ephesians prayer. Now, I've been told for 20 years that I needed to be praying the Ephesians prayer. So I would say, shortcut. Lord, I pray the Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 prayers. And what I did, I just put a little salve on my conscience and I felt good about my religious duty that I had just done in prayer. Because I did more than some of y'all. Y'all didn't pray it at all. But at least I prayed the Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 prayer. But then I was encouraged by the Lord to get a little bit more in depth. When I got a little more in depth, I had to start looking at the Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 prayer. A lot of us still don't know that there's a prayer in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. That's not the only ones that there are in the Bible. There's more. But I started putting these words and adapt them into my prayer. See, I'm of a firm belief that you can't get any stronger in prayer than praying the Word of God. And you can't get any stronger in faith than believing the Word of God. So, we started praying these prayers, and we've been praying the armor of God prayers. And Sandy had asked me, she said, tell me some more about this armor of God. See, you can hear a lot of different preaching depending on who you listen to, telling you about the armor of God. But having our loins girt about with truth. One of the first things that you've got to know is where your loins is at and what truth is. You can't put something on that you know nothing about, or you can't give place to something that you don't know where it's supposed to be at. And what Paul was talking about, he was looking at the armor of a Roman soldier. He knew what a Roman soldier looked like. And he said, ha, I see it. He didn't just say, I could have had a V8. He said he saw it. He saw it. He understood. He started and the Spirit of God started painting these pictures, giving the revelation of it. So here, around his waist, around his private areas, he would have this belt of truth. This belt of truth. Let me say it again. This belt of truth. It says in Psalms and Proverbs, Allah says, Have truth in your inward parts. Let truth affect you to your very core. Let truth affect you to the point that it will be reproduced in you, and when you share, it will be reproduced in others. See, God is not just after sustaining you. He's after giving you what you need, but He's also after getting this out so that other people can have their needs met also. See, it's not for just these few that's here in the church today that need something to know something about the armor of God and having our loins girt about with truth. It's people all over this world that needs their loins girt about with truth. Because right now, we live in a time in society that people believe and they make their own truth. If it feels right to me, it's truth. And if it's not, you know, I really don't have nothing to do with it. So people pick and choose what they believe. And they think that they're safe in doing that. Brothers and sisters, there's only a safety in God. And when God says something is truth and right, you can mark it down. It's true and it's right. But if He says it's wrong, it don't matter how many people that you get to agree with you to say that it's right, it's still wrong. So He says, have these here truth. Have this truth around you, wrapped on you, so that it becomes a part of who you are. And everything else about the armor of God is going to depend on this here truth right here. Of how you've taken the very basic concepts of what He said. It's going to affect everything else in your life. And as we take truth, and we don't take and put... Don't take, brothers and sisters, and put truth as an ornament like stars are on this on the outside. Truth had to be woven into the fabric of the way that this was made. See, when you've got truth as your girdle around your waist, and it's become one of your basics or core values, it's more important than anything else. Part of your faith suit. Because all of the other parts of your armor, all of the other parts of your faith suit are going to be attached to this. And if you don't think that, let me paint a picture. Whatever your core values are, it's what you're really going to, that's going to be your default, what you're going to go back to. It don't matter how much word that you hear preached. It don't matter what your experiences has been in life. What you believe as your core values is what you're going to gravitate back to. And if fear was one of the things that was introduced to you at a young age and you held on to it, you're going to gravitate back to fear. But as we allow truth from God's Word to have place, to affect us to the very core of our being, where fear would try to come in, faith will be there to keep it out. See, this is core values. If I said one time, if I was teaching a woodworking class, one of the first things that I would do is I would teach people basic hand tools and basic hand tool skills. It's not enough to know what to do with a tool. You need to know what wood feels like. You need to know what that tool feels like in your hand. You need to know what you can do with it. And you need the truth of God's Word so you'll know what it can do and what you can do with it, and it to become a part of your basic who you are as a believer in Christ Jesus. Core values. truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. Because if truth is not there, let me ask you this. What are you reproducing? What are we reproducing? If truth is there, you're going to reproduce truth. Truth is followed by faith and its success and overcoming. Victory in life. He wants us to walk in His ways. Could you go up and say, well, God is a failure? God, He don't never overcome. God, He ain't never victorious. You ought to say, David, you ought to slap yourself across the mouth for even letting something like that go out. But a lot of times we look at ourselves that way. And then we wonder why in the world we're that way instead of allowing these here truths of God to have an effect on our lives so that we come up instead of stay down. See, if we're not walking in truth, we're not made free. But when we're made free, we're overcoming. See, I'm not being down on us if we're not there, but I'm showing us that there's a way. Don't be satisfied with where you're at, with what little. It's sort of like trying to walk out your Christian life with a thong on instead of, or a loincloth on instead of this breastplate, or not the breastplate, but this here girdle of truth. You'd be like the boys walking around with the pants hanging all down like this, and they're starting to run, and they had to reach back and pull themselves back together because they're falling apart. And a lot of people's lives is just that way. They're trying to walk in victory with their pants down because they've got their belt not where it's supposed to be to hold things together so a man looks put together, so a woman looks put together. Truth in our inward parts. First place. It's what he's talking about. Now, I don't know if we'll get all of these here parts today. But I tell you what we can do. We can come and revisit again. Amen? Because there's truths here that we need to get. But I would like to dwell on at least maybe one or possibly two. What time we got? Oh, we got plenty of time.
As long as God wants.
Hallelujah. So he went from the girdle of truth, the belt of truth, that's holding everything together. And if we don't get that one right, we're not going to get the other ones right. But if we can get that one right, everything else will start falling in place. So he says now, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The loin area was here. The breastplate area is here in this zone. And it's not just talking about your front. It's also talking about your back. It almost like be a two-piece of armor that covered the front and it covered the back. And these had to do with something that was covering our vital organs. If somebody gets hurt in an accident, one of the first things that they check is your vital signs. There are certain things for you to stay alive that's got to stay working. One of the first ones is going to be your heart. They're going to check your pulse. And they're going to check your blood pressure. And they're going to find out how you're doing, because that's something that's telling them vital signs is what they call it. Tell them what the vital signs are. How's this trauma? Because they know that you can make it without a limb. But they know that you can't make it without a heart. So, this here breastplate of righteousness is held in place by truth. But it's each plate piece is interconnected, but each piece has its own function. And the function of it is to protect us, to protect your heart. Do you know we had a scripture for that? Yes. In the book of Proverbs it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you keep your heart, your blood pumped with all diligence, for out of it is the flow of blood. But keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. See, he's painting pictures between the natural and the spiritual. When he's talking about this armor of God, he's painting pictures between the natural and the spiritual. And he wants us to catch these truths. So righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness first, is being right with God. You can't expect all of these other things to work for you if you ain't right with God. You can't throw enough faith at it to change it when you know you're not right with God. And when you're not right with God, there ain't but one thing to do. And that's to get right with God. Don't make no excuse. Don't make no bones about it. Just humble yourself and get right with God. And if you don't get right with God, you will never be right with God. And you won't never walk in the victory that he's got for you to walk in your life. Because being right with God produces something inside of the believer. See, there's a confidence that's there when you know that you're right. But you know how you feel when you feel guilty. You feel ashamed. You feel condemned. Well, I'm trying to do right. Well, quit trying to do right and do right. That was good preaching right there. That would have set somebody free. Quit trying to do right and get right. I love what one preacher said. Do what's right and then do it right. If what I'm doing was wrong, quit. Give yourself the ability and the privilege and the strength to say no. See, there was something that I learned. There was a valuable word that I learned as a teenager. Because there's all kinds of different pressures trying to get you to do this and trying to get you to do that. And one of the most valuable words that you'll ever put in your vocabulary for your heart is the ability to say no. Somebody offer you drugs, say no. Somebody drop off your alcohol, say no. You have the ability to say no. Just as you said yes, you could say no. Now when God says something to you, say yes to him. But when things are offered to us that we know that we shouldn't be participated in or participate in, say no. So this breastplate of righteousness has to do first with our right standing with God. And our right standing with God only comes one way. See, there's a righteousness that we think that we have, but then there's a righteousness that God's got. Now, you need to forget about your righteousness and my righteousness, because it ain't nothing but filthy rags. But God's righteousness will put you in right standing with him. This only comes one way. Through the blood of his son Jesus. Because his blood was placed on the mercy seat. And his blood for David is always crying out, forgiven. Forgiven! Yeah, but The devil, the accuser, the brother, he say, he did that. Jesus say, forgive him. Oh, you just don't know how liberating that is. You want to try it for yourself? Forgive him. See how it feels. Want to do it again? Forgive him. Right with God. Forgiveness is what puts you in right standing with God. The blood of Jesus is how we receive the forgiveness. Thank God for His righteousness. Now, a lot of us have adapted this concept and we brought it into church. One day, I'm going to get right with God because I'm going to grow in righteousness. Let me tell you something. You don't grow in righteousness. You either are or you ain't. It's so like being pregnant. You either are or you ain't. Well, one day I hope I'll be all the way, you know? No. Right with God. Getting right with God. Putting faith in the blood of Jesus. See, all of these here things come and they're tied to truth. And the truth that we believe is the one that's affecting our life. And if we've got a partial truth, we've got a partial victory. If we've got an incomplete truth, we've got an incomplete victory. But when we've got the truth that is solid and based on God's word, brothers and sisters, there's something to stand on. Now you build your life on that. And that truth will do something just like it did for that armor in that soldier. It'll hold you together. It'll hold you together. When you feel like you're falling apart, it'll hold you together. It'll hold you together. It'll hold you together. Let me say it again. This needs to be emphasized. It will hold you together. I feel like I'm coming apart at the seams. Well, get in this truth. Believe this truth. Don't turn loose of this truth, because this truth has the ability to hold you together. Don't trust in your own strength. Don't trust in what you've seen. Don't trust in what you've heard. Trust in the word of the living God. Amen. Truth. Truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And the truth from the word of God says that Jesus is our righteousness. He is the one who gives us right standing with the Father. And glory to God, I can put faith in that. And if I'm going to walk in it, I'm going to have put faith in that. Now, isn't that amazing that this faith suit that the Christian wears for us to not be overcome by the elements out here on the outside, there's victory that's there. Faith is incorporated in every part of this armor. Because if you don't believe it, it won't work for you. Somebody said, well, I love what one preacher said, talking about the rapture. And he said, this other man said, I don't believe in a rapture. You know what he said? He said, stay here then. You don't have to, see, that's the thing about God. He will not make you believe what He says. But I can promise you this, if you don't believe what He says, you won't have to worry about walking in it. I can guarantee you that one. You will not have to worry about walking in it because you're going to have to believe it to walk in it. So faith is going to be tied into every part of this. Well, I just believe the truth. Well, you won't believe the truth without faith. Oh, there's many church people that's trying to do it. There's many people in the world that's trying to do it. It only works for the ones that put faith in it. Because the Word of God didn't profit them because they didn't mix any faith with it. Right standing with God comes through mixing faith with the blood of Jesus. And not trusting in yourself, but trusting in the blood of His Son. And adhering to it and trusting in it and relying on it to do that. There's got to be faith in His Word, because this is part of our righteousness. See, the value that we place on the Word of God will determine, because there's a spiritual law that's laid out that we could tie in right here. And that is the law of the measure. The law of the measure is this. The way that you measure it out, it'll be measured back to you. If you place little value on it, little value will come back to you. If you place great value on it, great value will come back to you. If you place little importance on it, little importance is what you'll receive from it. If you place great importance on it, great importance will come back to you. Because the way that you measure it out, it'll be measured back to you. Say that with me. The way I measure it out, it'll be measured back to me. You've got more to do with this than you think that you do. See, God has laid it out, but we've got to be in agreement with Him. That's taking us to two parts of this armor. I believe we've got time for one more. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now I want to tell you something about the gospel and the shoes that you wear. And ladies, if you want your face suit to look good, you need these shoes. You need these shoes to go along with it. Because this looks good on any outfit. This will go with any outfit. The gospel of peace. And you can tell a man or a woman when they're walking in peace. Because when there's a lack of peace, whether you know it or not, your face will show up. Husband can walk in the house, see his wife. All you got to do is look at her face, listen to her voice, and you say, "What's wrong?" Or, if he's an idiot, "What's wrong with you?" You just keep the dog, and you're getting ready to get bit. We've all played the part of the fool. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, peace is a flow of faith. Peace is a flow of God. And God wants us to walk in peace in every area and every situation of life. If you don't think that this will take some work on your part, some discipline on your part to become skillful at this, we got another. If you think that it's just going to happen because God wants it to happen, I can promise you, you're going to walk in a lot of unpeace. Because to mix faith with something is to engage in it, to place value in it. To learn to be good at anything, you have to practice it. And if you're going to walk in peace, you're going to have to practice walking in peace. And one of the ways that you're going to do that, you're going to start taking authority over things that moves you out of that place of peace. If you know that peace is the flow of God, and now I'm starting to walk in another path that's leading me out of peace, I'm either lazy or not too bright. to walk in that way that's leading me away from God? Let me tell you something. I've been both lazy and not too bright. But I thank God things are turning around for this old boy. Things can turn around for you. Let's place a value on it. Because there'll be plenty of things that come that try to move you out of that place of peace. But we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers. And no matter what it is, if it's something we see in the night, if it's something we see in the day, if it's something we hear in the day, something we hear in the night, if it moves you out of a place of peace, you can know where it came from. If it moves you out of a place of peace, because God always moves in peace. Always. Peace is like the umpire telling you which way to go, what to do. You say, well, God, I'm waiting on you to show me something. He's leading you. We may not understand it, but he's leading me through peace. He's leading me through peace. Some of your flesh may want to do it. He said, and there's something that's unrest on the inside. He said, don't go there. If you go there, you're going to reap the consequences of it. Don't go there. Have I ever went there? Yep. You know what I did? I reap the consequences of it too. Having my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But he doesn't want this gospel of peace just to stop here with David. He wants David to be able to know something about this peace and to be able to speak that peace into your life. See, just as he wants truth reproduced in us, he wants peace reproduced in us, because peace comes through the truth of God's word. And you'll know the truth, and the truth would make you free. All kind of things, brothers and sisters, that we hear, see, can move us out of that place of peace if we let it. But we don't have to let it. When we don't let it, we become skillful at what he says. See, the devil ain't your boss. You're a child of God. Amen. You've been redeemed from him. He don't own you no more. He knew how to dangle the carrot. He knew how to pull the strings. He knew all of the things to make you fall. But Jesus knows all of the things to make you be successful. He knows all of the things to make you an overcomer. He knows all of the things to make you victorious. I didn't know that all of these things was attached to my face suit, the armor of God. Brothers and sisters, we're all coming up. Don't beat yourself up for what you didn't know. Thank God for what you're learning now. Amen? Amen? He would love to keep us in those arenas of ignorance. But God rejoices that we're led in truth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Okay, look, let's fill this house with some hallelujah before we leave. Hallelujah!
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 Don't it feel good? Huh? We ain't going by feeling, but don't it feel good? Hallelujah. I'm free because Jesus said
it. Yes.
See, for these things to work for us, we got to be in a family. And just because we're in the family doesn't make them automatic. We've got to mix faith with it. And as we mix faith with it, these things start operating in our life because we start giving place to them. See, there's a lot of truth, a lot of different things that we've considered as truth that God said was a lie. Those things have to be outrooted, uprooted, plucked back, cast away, and simply believe what he says. Because he is the author of truth. And we'll know his truth because his truth is the truth, and the truth will make us free.
Yes.
So it's a must that we be born again. Because he's given all of these things to us that we could enjoy. But if we're on the outside, all we're doing is we're peering in. Well, it looks kind of good and sounds kind of good. But he said, oh, taste and see. Don't stick your toe through that crack. You come through that crack to get to him. Amen? Stand with me. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, I want to introduce you to him today. If you know him at one time and you don't know him now, or not walking with him, I want you to help you to get in that right place. So I'm opening this up for anybody that would like to come to Jesus. Because I'll tell you one thing. When I came to him, he changed my life. And I can pretty much guarantee you, when you come to him, he'll change your life if we'll yield to him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your holy word. It truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I thank you, Lord, for this faith suit. I thank you, Lord, for just three pieces that we've talked about this morning. Oh, but there's so much more. So much more. And you want us to walk in your ways. You want this truth to be in our hearts and to establish us. Holy Spirit, teach us all. Show us all. Where we're missing it royally, show us. Adjustments that we need to make, show us. Because I know there's a victorious warrior in each and every person that's listening to me today. You've got victory for us to walk in. So I plead the blood of Jesus over you. I plead the blood of Jesus over all of these words. Satan, you will not steal these words. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.